This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Chris Colo. He is the CEO and founder of a company called MicroPact. Good morning, Chris. How are you today?
Great, John. Thank you for having me.
Are your toes all froze or are you kind of unfrozen here?
It's a warm studio, so certainly much better than being outside.
Yeah. We have water for the guests. I'm afraid the water may freeze in this studio. You never know this time of year. Many of my listeners are in situations where they have to take in and go from one system to another or take a process and change it or enhance or improve it. And I thought it might behoove us to take a look at business process management, take a look at different ways to slice and dice it and custom solutions and open architecture and open source and different ways to solve the problem. And that's why we have Chris in the studio. Maybe if you're a federal IT professional and you're looking at business process management and trying to figure it out and what options you have, you might want to look at some of the solutions from MicroPact. They may fit, they may not fit, but I tell you what, if you go to their website, there's all kinds of case studies on very similar situations of people with problems and how they solved them, and that's where I brought Chris in today. Chris, maybe you can tell us a little about your company. Been around since 1997, is that right?
That's correct, John. I started in 1997 at the ripe old age of 21 years old. We started off as an IT services organization, knowing from the beginning, though, we wanted to be a product company because we wanted to deliver results to government and organizations. We released our first product, which was a case management system, back in 2002, and it was a system called iComplaints. This system is very much prevalent in the federal marketplace, having and processing over 90% of all EEO complaints in the federal marketplace. But we didn't stop there, John. We were hungry. We were excited for the success that we had. So we went out to market with our flagship product, IntelliTrack, in 2004. This is MicroPact's unified BPM platform for case and business process management, and it's used by more federal agencies than any other BPM product today. We have prime contracts with over 200 federal agencies, and we have a prime contract with every cabinet level agency.
There are some people who are driving around their car listening going, BPM, EEO, what was all this stuff? Maybe we can define it for some of our listeners. Business process management. In other words, if you're baking a cake, you get the ingredients together, you put it in the oven, and you take it out. That's a real simple process there. If you are working for the federal government, you may have to take a look at employment EEO and go, okay, let's take a look at this person, make sure that they comply with the requirements for employment. Or it could be anything from agricultural products to certifying airplanes and making sure they don't leak. So EEO, Equal Employment Opportunity Act, is that the compliant project that you worked on? Is that EEO?
Yeah, the EEO, they're mandated by Congress with MD-110 being the sort of rules that they need to follow. So our software products very much answered the mail when it came to that, and now we are pretty much a federal standard when it comes to EEO compliance.
So my guess is that back in the day, to use a phrase used in the streets, back in the day, someone would have a spreadsheet or maybe an Access database, and they take an application and they kind of manually go and then make mistakes and there'd be problems and lose files. And then what happens is you suggested a system that may automated some of those processes for EEO, for example. Is that right?
Sure. That's exactly right, John. We actually, when we started seeing all the different business processes that needed to be automated create efficiencies within the federal government, that's when we looked at IntelliTrack and decided to build a business process management software product. And there's really two key things when it comes to BPM. It's the methodology component, which is, of course, the continual optimization of processes within your organization. And then, of course, the technology component that comes with that. That's to support the processing of the business needs that you have.
I would imagine for many agencies, you or one of your colleagues have to sit down and just say, okay, ma'am, what is your process? Do you know what the process is? Maybe people have been using AEO for years and just know, they just kind of intuitively know what to do. But it's difficult to ask those questions and document it before you can even look at any code.
That's exactly right, John. And that's why we really take a case management approach when it comes to implementing our BPM product. We have a case management lens. I mean, as I mentioned, our first product that we released is a case management product back in 2002. So our roots really came from case management. And why that's important is because it allows us to be able to focus on the data first. That's what knowledge workers know. That's what they understand. So it allows companies and agencies to get up and running much quicker. And then ROI becomes very visible. And so the investors, the people that have invested in this technology, are become excited about it, and then they want to implement throughout the enterprise.
So whether it's a process that's inherent in a background investigation, whether it's a process involved in equal opportunity, what you have to do is you have to just walk into an agency and identify the process, see what sequence is there. But what most people forget is that, guess what? It has to interact with other systems, doesn't it? Let's not forget that part, because you're not going to build a silo, are you?
Oh, no, definitely, John, especially in this day and age, it's very important to have interoperability and having open standards in your software platform. The need to be able to share data across the federal government now is very much in the news and very much in the limelight. So it's important that proprietary software that's being sold, that they stay away from that and really move to open standards, and which will allow interoperability and collaboration between agencies.
So let's go back to the future, back to 2000, and I'm sitting in my office over at Department of Commerce, and I'm real happy with my spreadsheet, my Access database, and my file folders, my actual manila folders, and there's problems and issues, and so I try to identify the process, and what you saw is that many of the processes that agencies go through can there may be parallel or similar in other processes, so you decided to switch from a services to a product that might be able to apply to other areas as well. Is that the transition that happened the first few years of the company?
It was. I mean, we were building custom applications, and it was, at the end of the day, it's all very, very similar, the type of things that they're tracking. So it starts with a piece of data. There's properties around that data, and then you take that data and put it across a process. At the end, there's an output. What is that output? So when we come into an agency, we talk to them, and we figure out what is the output and what are you trying to accomplish with the information that you're deriving from this business data system.
So I'd imagine you have consultants that's very skilled at asking questions. I think that's the skill set that's needed, isn't it?
Yes, definitely, John. I mean, you have to be able to understand exactly what is needed for that particular agency. So I think that's definitely one of the key areas.
So when you started off, is there a technology you chose? Did you decide to go with open architecture or license-based software? Or what kind of platform did you choose, and why did you choose it?
Well, we decided to use the Java platform to develop our software products because it does lend itself to be more interoperable with many systems out there. We expose everything in our systems that we develop to allow agencies to be able to use tools that they may feel or they are more comfortable with, or maybe they've made investments, for instance, on a BI tool. So we don't want to tell them you have to use our tool for these types of things. If you've already invested in it, utilize your investments. Just use us as a stepping stone to allow you to be able to interoperate with all these other systems.
So is that a concept called open architecture? Is that what that word really means?
Yeah, I mean, open architecture, yes. It's important to ensure that these systems continue to stay open to allow the integration of all these different components, because agencies spend so much money on so many different data systems, and some of them are open, some of them are not. And that's what is so important, to ensure that when you invest in a platform such as our BPM technology, because it's able to accomplish so many different things across the enterprise, you have to ensure you have that the open standard available to you.
So maybe some of our listeners are familiar with these concepts here, but there's open source software and there's open architecture. These both have the same word open in it, but these are different concepts completely, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I mean, the open source really allows programmers to be able to collaborate and add to existing features there, and that they do it in an organized fashion. So that's really the difference.
What's interesting is the guy at the White House, Steve Van Roeckel, has a background in Microsoft, yet he's encouraging federal agencies to work with open architecture and open source software more than anything. I think it's kind of an interesting contrast there, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's really the response of just making sure that that the agencies are communicating with each other. So with social media, you know, collaboration is just so important. And then big data. I mean, it's coming. The amount of information that's being developed and created today can now all of a sudden be analyzed, you know. We have to figure out, I mean, does it make sense to archive all this data? Before, it made sense. Now, with hard drives being so cheap and storage, maybe that makes sense to stay on these data systems so analytic software can be utilized.
We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, talk more about business process management and some choices and options that federal IT professionals may have in that area. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we're speaking with Chris Colo, president of MicroPact. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we're speaking with Chris Colo, president of a company called MicroPact. He deals in the world of business process management. We're going to expand that a little bit further in a few minutes. If you'd like more information, you can go to, guess what, MicroPact.com. It's a well-designed website. It's simple. It's clean. It has blogs. It has white papers. They have case studies on case studies. So they have all kinds of information if you're looking at business process management. And, well, maybe we can define this for audiences. I mean, in the first block, we spit out these EEO things and BPM and this and that and everything. But there are some people that are intimately acquainted with what case management is, and they're acquainted with business process management. Maybe you can expand upon those terms for the benefit of our audience so they'll know what we're talking about. So what is case management, and how does that compare with business process management?
Sure. So I'll begin, John, with explaining what business process management is. And as I mentioned in the first segment, you know, methodology component of it and a technology component of it. So we focus on a technology component of it, and it's really focused on executing rigid end-to-end processes. Whereas case management is much more reflective of the work that we do today, and it's generally done every single day by the knowledge workers that we have. So let me give you an example. It's really a you know, something that we've been doing for centuries now. You know, the cabinets, the folders, forms, and then of course, you know, the collaboration workflow of just human interaction. It captures the back and forth nature of that because that's what we do on a day-to-day basis. So it allows us to be able to really focus on the data, and because of that, it allows agencies to be able to get these systems back up and running, which, you know, for instance, a background investigation system where we're processing hundreds and thousands of background investigations, it's important to process those things at a much faster speed. Because at the end of the day, you're going to save a ton of money because the processing is much quicker. And then those folks can get to work much quicker. You know, we have folks sitting on the bench is what we call it in the consulting world. And we need to reduce that because it's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. And the folks aren't being productive.
I think it's real good. The first time we talked about the theory of business process management, and to tell you the truth, it sounds almost academic. Perhaps the scholars over at Georgetown University can argue about BPM and this process and that and ISO 9000 and Lean and Six Sigma and exactly what the process is all about. But in the real world, my listeners should be concerned because it's all about the money. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. If you rent a truck and it's sitting in your driveway and you have to wait 2 days before the house is ready to move, that costs you every single day that truck is sitting in your driveway ready to move. Just like in the federal government, if it takes you X number of days to process a background investigation, if you can reduce that by half, that is dollars and cents savings right there, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's very clear, and our customers are seeing this over and over again. Another important aspect of this, John, is really the adoption of this technology. You know, we have enterprise software out there today that may focus on the process, but that takes so much time and effort. And frankly, when we go to an agency, they don't necessarily know their process from a technology perspective. So being able to focus on that data first really allows, again, the visibility of these knowledge workers getting to work faster and quicker than they have normally done before when investing in enterprise software products.
There was a story in AOL about background investigations, and they took a look at what process improvement, this big academic concept, process improvement can save money. Well, this, you know, this gets specific here, and it talks about that in 2005, it took 189 days to go through a background investigation. Here it is 2012, it takes 44 days, which is just numbers, but wait a minute, that's 140 days of time. It's like that rental truck sitting in your driveway. The clock is, and you're charged for all that time. I mean, this, I mean, if an agency is forced to reduce costs, reduction in time for a background investigation, that's a dollar and cents savings.
Yeah, time is money, and you know, a perfect example of this is our work that we did at Department of Justice, where we've combined so many or all of the bureaus of Department of Justice into a single background investigation platform, utilizing our IntelliTrack technology. They've been able to have significant cost savings and been able to see significant reductions in times to process these background investigations. And the beauty of it is they're using a single unified business process management platform that is interoperable, that allows them to share data amongst these different agencies, with the FBI, with the ATF, all the different agencies and bureaus within the DOJ. So it's been a remarkable story and a great success story for the DOJ.
And if you're listening to this and you're in Tulsa, you shrug your shoulders and go, what is that, a half dozen people? No. This is 4.8 million federal government employees or contractors are eligible for a security clearance. So what if you try to hire Chris Colo in your staff? Well, you have to wait for that. What if someone quits? You got to replace this person. Well, you know, the world doesn't stop. I mean, work has to be done. And anytime someone leaves an agency or retires, which is what we see, you have to replace them with someone whose background cleared. Do you want to take 190 days for that? You want to take a month or 3 months? I mean, this is a drastic savings.
It is. And we see it every day in our company. You know, we are federal contractors having 200 federal agencies that we do work for. I mean, background investigations, you know, there needs to be some commonality across the federal government. They're moving into shared services. I hope that they take a look at this process because it's an important process that needs to be done faster because there's just a lot of wasted time with people sitting around waiting for their clearances before they can start work on anything. So that is bad for the federal government and the end user, of course, but also bad for companies because we have folks that we have to pay that are sort of sitting there because they're not able to work on these contracts because they're not cleared yet.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. Let's jump from security clearance to healthcare IT. Obviously, hot topic in the White House, Capitol Hill. Everyone's probably walking to the Starbucks or 7-Eleven. They'll talk about healthcare. There's something called the Affordable Care Act. Now, I imagine, no, I'm just an outsider looking in, there must be some processes involved in healthcare IT with Patient Protection Affordable Care Act. I don't know if you want to touch on some of those, but it seems like there would be an application for some kind of a system or tool that could do business process management. Is that right?
That's correct. You know, as an example for the Veterans Administration, you know, that is a system that we've developed. It is a disability benefit questionnaire system. Prior to our system being implemented, you had U.S. troops coming home from war, and then they had to file benefit claims. Well, that process was just erroneous, and a lot of time was spent on this, and you know, frankly, it was complex. So what we were able to do was take all these 90 forms that the Veterans Administration sort of makes our troops go through and put them online to allow these folks to be able to process their disability claims in a automated fashion.
You know, I'm a big fan of paper. I have paper in front of me right now. But if a automated system can get the benefits to a veteran quicker, well, forget the paper. Get it online, get it out to them. And these are people who intentionally put themselves in harm's way, which I won't do. And I think there's something due to them as far as affordable care and reasonable care. I was speaking to Dr. Neil Evans last week, and he's taking 100 iPads and handing them out to 100 physicians, and they're putting 1,000 apps out there and just trying to figure out what apps work and what don't work. Kind of a crossover with your interest now in business process management for mobile devices. So, I mean, it only makes sense. I mean, this is going on everywhere, not only just in the VA.
Yes, I mean, mobile technology and adoption of it is just prevalent everywhere, both in the business world, of course, and the consumer world. You know, on me right now is three different mobile devices where I can read my email, talk on the phone, or text message. So it's just it's just so prevalent across the government. So BPM and being able to utilize this technology with mobile in mind is very much important. So you can use this right now. The Veterans Administration is looking at using this potentially to take and track the homeless folks that are out there, troops that have become homeless, and sort of capture information and see if they can derive any data or any information from the data that's captured from there or any trends.
And what they're trying to do is they have a whole community there that's reaching out to homeless veterans, and their goal at the VA is to have no more homeless veterans. Why should a veteran be out in the streets after they've served their country? And they're trying to reach them, believe it or not, through mobile devices. I mean, well, of course, there are some homeless people who don't own anything, but they do own a mobile device, and they want to get their information through mobile means, which something that I would never dreamed of 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing how technology has just absolutely changed how we interact as individuals and just in our daily lives. So it's definitely a huge trend coming up.
Let's take a break, talk more about business process management in the federal government. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Chris Colo, president of MicroPact. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Chris Colo, who is the founder and CEO of a company called MicroPact. Micro, MicroPact.com. You can go there, get blogs and white papers and all kinds of stuff, and figure out this concept of business process management. It's kind of an amorphous topic. It's like, shine your shoes and brush your teeth and you'll be a success. But we took the last segment. We talked about, okay, let's talk about specifics. So in the area of background investigations, if you can go from 190 days to 40 days, all of a sudden that is a physical savings in improving your business process management. But I think many of my listeners today may be listening to this with headphones, and maybe they have a smartphone and they're looking at a Twitter feed, and then they have their desktop at the same time, and they're reading a blog. And so a lot of people are interested in apps and HTML5 and operating systems. So your system is using Java. What about this big debate, HTML5 versus proprietary operating systems, HTML5 versus apps? Where do you think the technology is heading?
Well, it's our company's viewpoint that HTML5 is definitely the future. And the reason for that is just the recent announcement back in December by the World Wide Web Consortium that HTML5 is feature complete. There's still testing that needs to be done, and there's still work that needs to be done to make it a standard for the web. But by 2014, the HTML5 technology will become a standard on the web. So in our viewpoint, because HTML5 is open, because it's not proprietary, you don't have to rely on Apple or Google for the Android devices. It's the adoption of that is going to be much, much better than what we have today, because having to have multiple versions of your code depending on what platform you have just doesn't make business sense.
This morning I get up, had breakfast with my wife, and she's a teacher, and I said, "Well, you think school's going to be canceled because of the snow today?" She got out her little iPhone, and she'll have an app for that, and she went to see the weather. So she is voting for apps. Now, your website, is your website designed for both desktop viewing and mobile viewing, or do you have apps for your product? Or what about your companies? Do you have skin in the game is what I'm asking.
Absolutely. We've invested quite extensively, actually, in the HTML5 technology and mobilizing our IntelliTrack platform. For us, the HTML5 and ensuring that our website and our software platforms are accessible via mobile devices is a key component for the future success and growth of our organization.
So you have a tool that can be applied in several different areas. It can be applied to Department of Commerce. It can be applied at Department of Agriculture. It can be applied at Justice. And it helps with business process improvement. So we know that. So listen to the edicts coming out of the White House, and everyone's got to go to the cloud, move to the cloud. What about your product? Does your product sit in the cloud? Is it premises-based? Do some of your clients say, no, this is DOJ, buddy. We can't have this out in the cloud. This is very sensitive information. And so does that limit the users, the cloud, or does it expand the capabilities of your product?
Yeah, John, we provide our software product both on-premise and in the cloud. We actually have our own data center that's been certified and accredited by numerous hundreds of agencies now Very much so, we believe that moving to the cloud is important, but we also have been seeing some resistance by federal agencies to move their applications there because of the sensitive nature of the information that's contained in it. And they want to make sure that they have control over that data, so they want to leave it in their data centers. And that's okay, because our software is sold either on-premise or in the cloud.
Yeah, we start off the discussion talking about processes and identifying the process, and then we talk about specific applications. And now we're at the next level where, okay, we've identified the process, we know what tools we can use, and now it is gone from a strategy to tactics to deployment. And so how can we deploy the solution? And I don't think people can resist the move to the cloud. I mean, look at most agencies. I think by May 15th, they got to come up with two mobile apps that are citizen-facing apps. That's kind of interesting. And they're encouraged to move to the cloud. So I think a lot of the topics we discussed here are crossing over with users involved in business process management. So what you're saying is that a federal employee who's involved in a background investigation may want to work at home, and they can work on their mobile device at home and still have the information secure through your product. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And the downside of that, of course, is security. You know, I mean, mobile security, although it's getting better, we're still not all the way there. We've seen in the past with laptops and information being on laptops just being taken. I mean, that's very, very sensitive information, and that makes big news. And you sort of don't want to be in the news when it comes to security.
Now, FedRAMP has got nothing to do with mobile devices. Tell me about FedRAMP and your company's interaction with FedRAMP. Where does that apply? Because you have data centers. What does that all mean for our listeners?
Well, FedRAMP is a government-wide program that will provide a standardized approach to security assessments. Today, having work and prime contracts with all these different agencies, our organization, has to go through a certification and accreditation process for every single agency. So there's no sharing of information or sharing of this type of activity. And what FedRAMP is going to do is allow agencies in one program to be able to do this. So this is really a great initiative. We're behind it because for us, it costs us a lot of money to have to go through those certification and accreditations all the time. And of course, that costs the customers more money as well.
And so an organization can use business process management on site. They can use it in the cloud. So what kind of criteria would you suggest my listeners use for deciding what to use when? I mean, sometimes you need a ball peen hammer. Sometimes you need a 9mm wrench. Sometimes you need a chainsaw or a truck. So when would you think that the cloud would be appropriate for business process, and when do you think it's not be appropriate?
From our perspective, I mean, we believe the cloud is an important aspect. I mean, just the cost savings that a organization would have by moving to the cloud is very prevalent there. It's very clear. And it's popular because you pay by the drip. So if you don't use the services, you don't have to pay for it. And I think that's an important aspect of it because the cost savings that are associated with moving to the cloud is very real. Again, unfortunately, the government is just not quite there yet. I think they'll get there. I think time will drive government to this type of technology. Private industry, they're very much adopting this model because they see the savings very immediate.
Many of my listeners like to read blogs. I have a blog myself. I'll be blogging about this interview. If you want to find my blog, you go to Google and type in John Gilroy bad jokes or John Gilroy whatever you want to talk, and it thumbs on my blog. And I imagine your company has a blog. There's several different ones, I think, for your company. Where will you find those?
Yes, right on our website. On the top right-hand corner, there's a section for our blog. All our team members blog, and we also have guest bloggers on our website.
So it's micropact.com and then /blog for the different blogs that are there. And I'm a big believer in blogs. In fact, there's blogs about all kinds of different issues involved with business process management. So tell me about the cloud and how your product is going to try to fit in the cloud in the future. Is it going to be adapt to it, or what kind of changes do you think will take place with this cloud technology and our federal listeners?
Well, I mean, for the cloud technology, again, is all about cost savings and not having the infrastructure associated with that housed within a federal agency. Leave that type of activity to folks that are experts in it, so that way you can reduce the overall cost and spend of your CIO shop. So it's very much important. I think you know, it will be adopted in time within the federal government.
Chris, do you think your competitor is another company, ABC Company, or IBM, or Microsoft, or is your competition resistance to change in an agency, or is your competition people with different fiefdoms and agencies not wanting to give out information, or resisting their Microsoft Access database? Where do you find your competition is in moving to business process management?
The competition that we normally face when it comes to business process management is custom software applications. You know, many agencies
out
there.
So rather than a product, it's custom apps.
You got it. Exactly, John. I mean, it's very much, you know, they're building these stovepipe applications across the federal government, and that just doesn't work anymore. With the fiscal environment the way it is today in the federal government, they have to be able to invest in technology that's going to make them more efficient, to be able to do more with less, and then it has to be adoption. These systems have to be able to be utilized easily by the knowledge worker. You know, we're selling to the CIO shop all the time, and all of a sudden, you know, enterprise software that's being bought is very bloated, it's very large, it's very complex, and because of that, the adoption by the knowledge worker isn't there. Well, if you don't have adoption, then the money you just spent and invested in this thing is a waste.
Not use it. It's not worth anything at all. We've been talking about business process management. Take a quick break. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio is Chris Colo, president of MicroPact. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio is Chris Colo. He's the president and founder of a company called MicroPact. And we've been spending the last, 30, 40 minutes talking about business process management, which seems kind of elevated and academic until you realize it's just getting things done in a quick, efficient way to reduce cost. And if your agency is getting forced into a reduced budget, well, one way to do it is look at your business process. If it takes 180 days to do something, if you can do it half the time, it only makes sense that you will save money in that process. We've been talking about all kinds of things. Some of my listeners read blogs, some have white papers, and some are active in Twitter. If you want to follow me, my Twitter handle is @RayGilray. And Chris, what about your company? Do you have a Twitter handle or company?
We do. It's @MicroPact is the best way to follow the news and trends of the happenings of MicroPact.
And so you support the Federal Computing the Mobile Summit here and ACT-IAC coming up in March. Is that right?
Yes, we invest in those areas to be able to show off our technology and how it's being used just across the federal government to save a ton of money.
Good. This is the point in the show where every single guest, the big dogs, the little dogs, everyone in between, has to answer a 10-question test to find out if you are in fact a card-carrying nerd. So, you ready, Mr. Colo?
All set, John.
Okay. First one, when was the year you bought your first computer?
1986. I was a 10.
You're probably 6 years old, though. I mean, it's not fair to ask you this question, but I'm asking anyway.
I was actually 9 years old when I first got my first computer. It was a Tandy 286, I remember.
Tandy 286. Wow, that's not the 386, the 286, and not the 386SX. We all know that difference. Year your first cell phone, please.
I was 17 years old, so about 1993.
Now, that's probably a more fair question for someone like you. It's not the year, but, you know, you're 17 years old. I mean, come on now. In 93 for a 17-year-old, you were a cool guy then, weren't you?
I was, man.
Wow, what a cool guy. Well, that's way gone. You've changed a lot since then, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And do you have your own Twitter feed?
We do, and that's the MicroPact has a Twitter feed, and best to follow us on our website.
Do you have your own blog?
I blog, but all my blogs are posted, and it's posted on the MicroPact website, micropact.com/blog.
Online personal backup, do you use any of those services?
I use Dropbox, and that's where I keep most of my my files, and so I hope that's, I guess, a backup system.
Great. What kind of smartphone do you have?
iPhone, the newest iPhone.
Okay. Number of apps on that?
Gosh, a number of apps I actually use is probably 5 or 6, but I probably have 20 or 30 apps on the iPhone.
What kind of tablet device do you have?
I have an iPad mini that I use today.
A mini? That's interesting, just because of the form factor, huh?
It is. It's much easier to carry around. It's a lot easier to be able to do things.
So you're not a Retina exclusive person then, huh? That's a Retina biased person. Everyone likes that nice screen. What kind of social networking sites do you participate in?
You know, I'm not a big Facebook user, but I am very active on LinkedIn.
Last question. The last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
Definitely electronic. All everything I read, newspapers, magazines, and books, are all electronic.
We scored fairly well for a young puppy. I mean, at 17, when I was 17, you know, me and Ben Franklin were dreaming about telephones. You know, I mean, that's how old I am, but that's a pretty good saying. We'll have to run that through my UNIVAC computer in my basement, and I'll print out something in Green Bar, and I'll mail it to your home address with a stamp and an envelope and everything. That's how up to speed I am. We've talked about business process management, so it's obvious your company has a skill set that can help my listeners if they have a process, or help them identify a process by using a tool. This process could be a background investigation. This process could be something to do with veterans' claims. It could be something to do with taxes as well, because you file a tax claim, there's a certain process involved. Are there any interesting ones? I think the Federal Mine Safety is a recent win your company's had as far as processing claims in federal mines. How does that all work?
Yeah, I mean, the federal mine, we do work for Department of Labor as well. I mean, the thing that we're seeing a lot of is appeals and appeal process. We're getting a lot of automation done with several agencies when it comes to that. Definitely background investigations, anything that has to do with processing of information and being able to do it timely. And of course, having to be able to produce reports to be able to give to management and stakeholders to be able to drive decisions forward. In a data-driven world that we live in today, decisions are very much being made based on what data is being derived from these information systems.
I was at a HIMSS event and sitting down next to a veteran, and we're talking about healthcare IT. His specialty is healthcare informatics. And I turned to him and said, well, you're a veteran, aren't you? He said, yeah. And guess what? I've got a healthcare claim that sat there for 3 years. And this is his specialty in life, is healthcare IT. And he knows the system backwards. What about some person in South Dakota who doesn't understand technology? This guy intimately knows it. He owns his own company. He's a veteran. He says, yeah, it sat there for 3 years. Well, if you could improve the veteran's process for handling a veteran's claim, all of a sudden, I think that would reduce complaints, that would improve service to veterans, and reduce costs. So business process management, I think, can be put in work boots pretty easily with that concept, can't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. And we have to do that. I mean, these are folks, like you mentioned, that risk their lives for this country. And we shouldn't make it difficult for them. We should make it easier. And that's exactly what we focus on at MicroPact with our IntelliTrack tool. We provide software products that are easy to use, that are intuitive, so that way you can get to work faster.
What about the future of IT and information technology for the federal government? As we all read the reports, Intel has stopped making chips for desktop computers, which for someone like me, it's like, well, Ford doesn't make cars anymore, or Bank of America doesn't abuse their their clients anymore. It's something that doesn't make any sense at all. But this is a transition away from desktops into mobile. What kind of future do you think is going to be for business process management? What kind of future can my listeners who are involved in this world look forward to?
Sure. I mean, I expect that our organization will continue to grow at a very rapid pace. I mean, adoption of BPM and case management software will accelerate because budget pressures are everywhere, not just in the federal marketplace, but everywhere across the world. So very much so, we believe that this is going to be something that's going to be continually adopted. From a technology perspective, of course, handhelds and tablets are here. They're here to stay. Computers are just going to be re-engineered, to have touch technology associated with it. And then just future things from technology, 3D printing, of course, is getting a huge amount of news. There's really great things happening in that space, robotics, automation of things where it can utilize robots to be able to compete with, countries like China and India and Mexico. I mean, it's important that we have to be able to provide efficiencies and be able to provide automation in all diverse industries that we have in the United States. In order to be competitive in this global economy that we live in today, we have to infuse technology to be able to do that. In addition to that, I feel HTML5, like I mentioned earlier on, is very much a big component of the future. We're going to see a big push in 2014 and beyond to utilize HTML5 technology versus using proprietary things with the iOS device and the Android devices. So I think we're going to see a lot of feature-rich components that are going to be built using HTML5 technology.
You think it's a security perspective? You think HTML5 can provide more security in a more standardized fashion than individual apps?
Yes. I mean, anytime there's a standardization, there's always it's always easier to be able to provide security to those types of applications. So HTML5 will definitely increase security and will allow companies to be able to utilize the different features that are more commonly seen in these proprietary systems today. Because of the HTML5 being sort of feature ready, it's ready to take off.
I saw a picture last week of one of the founders of Google, Sergey Brin. He was on a metro a metro in New York City, and he had on Google glasses. And so I can imagine 5 years. Here, I'll do the 5-year prediction. 5 years from now, is one of your employees, or are you going to be sitting at a desk with your Google glasses on and just putting your hands in the air and manipulating data that way? Can you see it evolving like that?
Yeah, you know, John, it's amazing this Google technology, this Google Glass technology. I mean, think about it. I mean, you're walking down the street, you might see a friend, but you haven't seen him for a long time. This Google technology now be able to say, you know what, that person's name is John.
Was
right?
I in grade school? Was I in grade school? Exactly. Or, trying to figure out, what was I in trouble with this kid once when I was in third grade or something? I remember?
Yeah, it's amazing. It really
I don't know where
amazing.
It's going to head. Well, I think what's going to head is going to be a reduction in cost for all agencies, whether we like it or not, and they have to look at every single aspect of the business and try to reduce cost. If it's reducing time, that means it's going to reduce cost. If it's going to reduce an actual outlay of expense, it's going to reduce costs. And whether it's shared first or cloud first or mobile process management first, I don't think people have a choice. They're going to have to look at new and exciting options. And if you want to get information on this company, you can go to micropac.com, and they have several case studies that really puts their system in work boots and shows you how it can be applied to your system. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Chris Colo, CEO and president of a company called MicroPact. Thanks.
Thank you very much, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.